702 Masterclass.
Time for our Masterclass, and I'm looking forward to this one because there's so much I need to learn. We're going to be joined by Andrew Walker as we chat about the Andrew Walker was talking to us about SA properties and investing in hospitality earlier. We're going to be joined by Clive Budko, the CEO and co-founder of Conducive Capital, as we speak on venture capitalism. And it might sound like a term that is quite up there. You know those terms that you like, hey, giddy terms are the rich people. We're going to bring you into the circle. I'm also going to be brought into the circle. We take your questions, 011-883-0702, and the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. Clive, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much, and good afternoon to you and your listeners.
I am so excited for this conversation because I know nothing. So we're going to be doing the basic 101 version. So let's quickly, before we even talk about what venture capitalism is, I want to find out about you and how you got into this space yourself.
Yes, thanks. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a little boy. You know, I had the typical lemonade stand and the Scooby-Doo scan and the cart-making business. And I started working in a clothes shop when I was 7 years old doing sales. So always been an entrepreneur. I then studied computer science, mathematics, and applied maths degree. And I was about to start my own company. And I was, I use the word seduced by a company called Accenture, Arthur Anderson.
Yes.
Come and join them. They told me I'd get in an airplane, go to America, and go on training there. And I found that very exciting, so I put a pin in my entrepreneurial dreams, and I went to Accenture. I said I'd go there for 5 years to learn about sales and marketing and product development and engineering and finance, everything you need to know as an entrepreneur and build a tech business. And I ended up staying there for 28 years. I worked in Silicon Valley, was there, and I headed up Accenture's technology business. I headed up many parts of their business. I eventually was the CEO of the business, and I left there in 2012. And the reason I left really was my love for South Africa, and I saw there was a complete mismatch of capital that was in the industry for venture capital and for startups and the capital that was needed. So I started and founded a company called Kalon Venture Partners. We raised R250 million, made 11 very disruptive, innovative tech investments, doing very well. And at the end of December, I decided to move on, and I formed a company. I'm the managing partner and CEO of Conducive Capital, and I formed it with one of the co-founders of a fintech payments tech company called Ozo, and his name is Mitch and Adam. So we actually empowered entity called Conducive Capital. So that's my background and my passion for helping entrepreneurs, you know, take their businesses from nothing to $100 million or even more. That's typically what I do.
So some poor area has been sitting without a lemonade stand for 3 decades because you went to America.
Absolutely. I'm lucky, and I'm very grateful for the fact that I can give back to South Africa now and give back to entrepreneurs. But I have a passion for this country. I have a passion for entrepreneurs. I have a passion for innovation. And I just know that South Africa and Africa is a continent and country of, you know, we're just a continent and a country. We are South Africa as a country of immense promise. You know, we're teeming with brilliant minds and untapped opportunities. And yet too often, these visionaries, entrepreneurs, lack the financial resources and the support to turn their bold ideas into reality. And that's why I formed Kalon Venture Partners and now Conducive Capital to really help change this narrative, providing not just capital, but also access to strategic guidance, mentorship, and, you know, local and global network. So yes, we formed Conducive Capital. We hopefully will raise a $50 million fund, but it's a lot more than capital we want to give back to these entrepreneurs. It's actually about support and guidance and mentorship and counseling. And that's how we actually make a difference to these businesses.
When we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I actually want to ask you a little bit just about the kind of work culture you experience, as in what did you learn in the States that you observe we could do a little bit more of in South Africa, but also what did you see in the States they are lacking that we are doing very well in South Africa. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we continue with this Masterclass.
702 Masterclass.
Our Masterclass for today is on venture capitalism, and we're speaking to the CEO and co-founder of Conducive Capital, Clive Budcone. We take your calls with your questions on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Before we took a break, Clive was sharing with us his background and journey and how he found himself working in the States. And Clive, it just really got me wondering and thinking, because I think exposure is one of the most amazing things a person can do for themselves, not just travel, but also working in different environments and work environments. And I'm wondering, what did you learn from working, you know, in the States about their work culture, work ethic, their thinking, that you think we could do more of in SA and the other way around?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think the first thing, it's not so much what I learned, but what I experienced was there is an excess of capital. There is so much capital in the United States for venture capital. So backing early stage businesses. So remember what venture capital does? It's a financial booster shot for startups. You know, when someone has a great idea, but they lack the capital to turn it into a successful business, that's where us as venture capitalists, we step in. Mm. These investors, as ourselves, provide the necessary funds to fuel the startup's growth in exchange for an equity stake in their company. It's a bit like having a business partner who believes in your idea and is willing to take a risk to help it succeed. So one thing I learned in Silicon Valley, they're very much risk takers. You know, they understand taking risk. They understand backing those early stage early stage entrepreneurs. What you must remember, you know, they say from surveys, not in South Africa or Africa, but in the United States, that 80% of ventures will fail. So when I say they will fail, they either the company will close down or the venture capitalists, if they put in $1 million, they'll get less than $1 million coming back. So that's what I learned. It's actually a game of, it's called the power law. So what you see is with the top venture capitalists that only 1 in 7 of their businesses will return the entire fund. So what you mean by the power law is they will get, if they put $1 million, they'll get $10 million to $100 million+ back from that investment. Now, you don't need every investment to do that, because every investment will never do that. No one can pick the winners and really understand the risks associated with these startups. But if you can just get 2 out of 10, you can get the 10 to 100 times return on capital. So again, you put in $10 million, you get the $100 million or $1 billion back. All you need is 2 out of 10, and you will not only pay back your shareholders their money, you'll pay them back an internal rate of return of 30%, which is far better than you'll get in the equity markets, in the bank, et cetera. But they are a risk-taking culture. I still remember when I had an interview with one of them when I went to Silicon Valley, they said, "How many failures have you had?" And I didn't really understand the question. And what they really want to know is, how many businesses had I started and failed at? Because they feel that if you started a business and failed, you've got a better chance of being successful the next time. And that's right. A very different mindset we've got.
Right. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I've heard that before, that very thing where people will say they will never invest in startups where the business owners have never failed before, because the likelihood is that for you to have your success story, you must have failed a couple of times. So they're not trying to be the first failure.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, failure is the best teacher. And, you know, none of us know that. The only thing about an entrepreneur is you don't know what you don't know. They don't know everything. I don't know everything. I've got 40 years experience, and believe me, I'm learning every day. I'm reading, I'm following YouTube clips. I don't stop learning all the time. And the one thing I won't do is back an entrepreneur who believes they've arrived. You know, they believe they know everything, or they need to know everything. They don't. They don't know everything. You know, building a business from $0 to $1 million and $1 million to $10 million and $100 million is a fundamentally different skill. It's like playing two different sports, playing tennis and golf or rugby and cricket. That's how different it is. But let me go back to your question. So number one, they've got a very much a mentality of failure is okay. It's okay to fail. You've got a better chance of success your second time than you have your first time. I think that's number one. I think the second thing they do very, very well is what they call play it forward. So the entrepreneurs that build their businesses and they make, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars, they become the next venture capitalists. And they are able to understand when they invest in the next, the next level of entrepreneurs, they understand these entrepreneurs. They understand what they're going through. They understand how to help them. Don't go left, go right. Because if you go left, there's a pothole. If you go right, there's the pot of gold. And that's something that I believe in myself and Mitch. When we started Conducive Capital, we're not venture capitalists first or investors first. We're actually entrepreneurs first. Mm. We have built many businesses. I've been involved in advising and building and on the board of about 100 tech businesses. Misha's was one of the founders of Ozo, which is the payments company, which he exited a couple of years ago. So we really do understand these entrepreneurs. And that's why we think we're quite different in South Africa, is we're not accountants. We're not from the private equity background. We're not actuaries. We're not lawyers. We are entrepreneurs. So we can help build entrepreneur tech, entrepreneurial businesses, because that's what we've done for most of our lives. So that's what they do there. They play very much, they play it forward. Now, unfortunately, if you look at South Africa, South Africa is still, venture capital in South Africa is still a cottage industry. You know, there's maybe a few billion rand out there that can invest in startups, which is nothing compared to what there is in many, many other parts of the world. So what we need in South Africa is more mentors. You know, we need the capital. We don't have an excess of capital. So we definitely need more capital in the ecosystem. Early stage capital like seed capital, angel capital, pre-seed capital, and then conducive capital is an early stage and growth stage venture capital company. So what I mean by growth is they've already got the entrepreneur and the startup has already got customers. They've built a product already. They've got money. They're doing a million rand a month or half a million rand a month. They've got a path to profitability. They've got getting to product market fit. That's the point that we'll invest in them. But there is insufficient capital right the way around in South Africa. We're America, there's so much capital. There's so many venture capitalists. Honestly, if I count the tech venture capitalists, probably on two hands, 10 in this country in total, are people that really can, that will back a tech venture capital company.
And so can I ask a question then on that? Because is that to do with the fact that we just are a smaller economy? Is that to do with the rand-dollar exchange? Or is it to do with the appetite of risk?
Yes, I think it's one is, look, yeah, I think there's a risk appetite. So in South Africa, you look at the pension funds and where a lot of the capital exists. These pension funds typically are quite low risk. So they might put money into, most of their money goes into equity or goes into cash so they can guarantee returns of investment to their stakeholders. They put some money into private equity, which is low risk, but they put very, very little money into venture capital. Now, venture capital is high risk, but it's obviously high return, where you can get the 30, 40, 30% internal rate of return type of return. So we still have a very de-risked economy or financial economy here, and we don't have many institutional investors who will put money into venture capital. This is starting to change. You're starting to see like the Mine Workers Union, you're starting to see the PRC, you're starting to see the SME Fund that are actually putting money into venture capitalists. It's definitely getting better, but we've still got a long, long way to go. You know, I was saying earlier, we've got so many brilliant minds that we need more and more capital, because that capital will, it can grow the next Meta, the next Facebook, the next Amazon, but we don't have enough opportunity to do that. So if we had more capital, we could back these entrepreneurs that are building the next billion-dollar company. But we don't have sufficient capital. But it is changing slowly, very slowly. But I do think the government needs to do more. I think these pension funds need to do more. And venture capital needs to become a far more sophisticated and recognized asset class in South Africa. Because then it's not even so much even the rand. You know, yes, the rand's an issue in South Africa. Obviously, there's a lot of issues about South Africa. And that's why people are a little bit nervous about putting their capital into South Africa. But we have got a $400 billion economy. It's a big economy. It's a great place to grow a business. I'm not saying it's a great place to build a $100 million or $1 billion business. I think you need to go to America or Europe or Asia to scale the business geographically to take it to different markets. But to get the business off the ground, I think South Africa is a brilliant place to, I say, build a business where you birth it. If you birth it in South Africa, build it here, get it to 100, 200 million rand, and then you take it globally to create a global business.
And what you're saying is so valid, because I was just thinking about the processes and the red tape that we face in this country. Do you think that is part of the problem? And I'm not just talking about government. I mean, just general barriers to entry that, you know, some people who do have the capital and the appetite are expecting too much of people that need to show up that are brilliant people, because maybe they didn't format it right or they didn't get the elevator pitches not brilliant.
I think definitely, I'll give you two examples. I think we need to move from red tape to red carpet. And I know there's a lot of entrepreneur ecosystem that's trying to move from red tape to red carpet. We need to lay the red carpet out so we get more entrepreneurs, more founders coming into South Africa. I think secondly, we don't have enough mentors and we don't have enough people that have actually built these tech businesses before. So there's not enough advisors and mentors of these startup 25-year-olds. You know, the only thing you know about a 25-year-old, they might have all the passion and they might have all the attitude right and they might have all the tenacity, but they don't have the skills and experience. Mm. And no one wants to pay their school fees. It's expensive. Rather just learn from someone that's, you know, I always learned from successful people. I studied and mentored and followed successful people. And that's how I believe I became successful, because success leaves clues and you just follow and follow these people. One of the challenges I find with South African entrepreneurs, they believe they have to have all the answers and they don't. None of them have got all the answers. I don't have all the answers after 40 years experience. And if they would only be more open to mentorship and guidance and counseling and not think I'm a failure if I don't have all the answers, I think we'd find a lot more successful businesses. So I think it's an attitude problem. It's a mentality in South Africa, which we don't quite have yet. And then secondly, the government is trying to do things. They've just passed some legislation recently around immigration to try and bring in immigrants, but it's too onerous. I don't think it's immigrant friendly enough to bring in immigrants. They can start these big businesses. They can employ 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 people. Because, you know, if you look in America, venture capital employs a significant portion of the American economy. Mm. So SMEs, venture capital, it increases the fiscus. So if we want to increase the fiscus, reduce unemployment, I believe venture capital is the way to go. You build 20, 30, 100 businesses that employ 1,000 people, you're making a dent to the fiscus and the unemployment in this country. But we don't have enough capital in this asset class.
So what we'll do then when we come back, and I see some questions already coming through, I want to in particular speak around tech and where we are. We have a tech feature. We regularly are speaking about the different things that are kind of moving in this country. But when everybody thinks tech and tech startups, they think Silicon Valley. And I'm wondering when we're going to get to the point where people are like, oh, Cape Town and Sandton, and when we start to make that map on the globe so that people do have access to the dollars and we shift from red tape to red carpet. We continue with this masterclass. 702 Masterclass. And we're continuing with our masterclass. We're with Clive Budko, the CEO and co-founder of Conducive Capital, speaking on venture capitalism. I need to absolutely keep practicing this word, Clive. We take your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Clive, before we went to the break, and I was just thinking about our tech industry, where are we faring, you know, with the rest of the world? I do observe from the many interviews I've done that the big complaint is we're not pouring enough money into the industry as a whole. So there's a lack of skills, but there are private sector coming together with government sector to try and put together even free courses on the various spaces in tech. But are you finding that the industry is still quite small compared to the world stage?
Yeah, we have a lot of skills in South Africa. I think that if we look at my industry, which is investing in venture capital in software tech, which is capital light, capital efficient, you build the software once and you sell it hundreds and hundreds of thousands of times. You know, that is still that we are really up there with the rest of the world. If it's artificial intelligence, if it's machine learning, if it's cryptocurrency, if it's blockchain, wherever it might be, we've got fantastic skills in this country. There's no question about that. But what we lack is if we wanted to build the next, CAT scan or something like that, or the next treatment for cancer, we have not got that type of capital that they've got in America where they can put hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into finding the next cure for cancer. So we don't have that sort of capital. But in the capital light software type or technology software type industries, we do have fantastic skills. And that's why I'm hoping government, with this immigration policy, that I know they're trying to make it easier to bring immigrants in. I mean, just an interesting stat is that of the NASDAQ top 500 companies, I think 51% of the CEOs of the top 500 companies are actually immigrant CEOs. Mm. They're not American CEOs. And they employ hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. So if we could just get that right and get that more friendly. So to summarize, I think we've got the skills, but what we haven't got is sufficient capital to, you know, to make sure we can bring out the best in those skills. You know, we look for as investors, we want to back leaders that not only create the initial spark, but can produce it repeatedly through the entrepreneurial journey, ensuring a steady flow of innovation and drive. Now, we're seeing a lot of those, and we're very privileged to see some of these entrepreneurs. We've backed many of these entrepreneurs. But if we had more capital, we'd be able to back a hell of a lot more. So I'm just, if I reach out to anyone here, it's let's get more money into venture capital. Let's understand it's a risk class. But at the same time, we're developing great venture capital skills, people that know how to build businesses. So the risk is going down. We're a growth capital investor as conducive capital. So the risk for our investors is much lower than seed investing, which is only investing at the very, very early stage or idea stage or just at a product stage. We're investing when it's already not a product. It's actually a small business is the stage that we're investing. So we need more capital there, and I think we would see absolutely moving the dial in terms of job creation and the fiscus.
So I think that's then the next question is differentiating specifically what the difference is between venture capital and what you mentioned of seed capital. What are these different capitals we need to be aware of so that we are clear? Because obviously after this show, I know many people will be getting in touch with your business. And let's be clear on what specifically we refer to when we say venture capitalism.
So let me start, if I go through the pipeline of investor in startups. First is seed capital. So that's typically where you get some, it could be family and friends, it could be a wealthy business person, someone that's made money, someone that wants to give back to a young entrepreneur. They're investing at the seed stage. It's just a seed. It's just an idea. It's nothing more than that.
So by seed, just so we're clear, it's me saying I see that there is no coffee shop in this area. And I'm just saying I have an idea. I want to put a coffee shop because there are none. That's seed.
Yeah, that's just an idea stage. That's even pre-seed. Then seed is maybe, let's take technology. There's just a product, but there's nothing more than a product. That's at the seed stage.
Yes.
Very high risk, very, very high return. Much higher risk than what we do as venture capital. The next level up is what you call micro-venture capitalists. Now, micro-venture capitalists are very much like angel investors. They invest in a very early stage. They invest in maybe it's just a product, maybe it's got one or two clients. That's micro VC. And we don't have a lot of micro VC in South Africa. We've got a big shortage of that angel investing and micro VC. Then there's the venture capital industry, which is more growth capital. So it's when we've already got a product, it's got its clients, we've got some really obsessed clients, they love our product, they're solving a significant problem. It's very innovation led. There's not a lot of competition. We're able to price and the economics look good. That's growth capital, which is what we are. After that, you'll find the later stage venture capital, you'll find private equity, mezzanine finance, and then to an initial public offering. So that's typically the cradle to grave of investing in technology startups in South Africa or anywhere in the world.
Okay, and I think that makes it quite clear. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, I see your questions coming through on 072-702-1702.
702.
Masterclass.
11 minutes to 3 o'clock. It is our masterclass on venture capitalism. We're speaking to Clive Budko, the CEO and co-founder of Conducive Capital. Your calls on 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Clive, there's a question here that says, how does one find developers or builders for technology business ideas and funding?
I think there's two questions there. One is, how do you find developers? And then secondly, how do you find funding? So let's go to the first one first. I think to find developers, you need to go to all these different startup communities. There's so many events that are happening in South Africa. There's great ones in Cape Town. There's great ones in Joburg. There's startup.co.za. There's startup, other startup. But I think you need to get out there and start meeting with like-minded entrepreneurs, because you're going to find a lot of those software engineers that maybe are employed in the corporate environment, but they actually want to start in startups. You know, startups are very exciting. They're very sexy for people to actually get involved in startups. There's a significant upside. There's great learning opportunities. It's really exciting. In the 10, 20 years ago, everyone wanted to go into corporate. Now a lot of people want to go into entrepreneurship. So I would say go out to those startup events and go and meet like-minded people, and I'm sure you'll find your engineers there. The other option, which is not a good option, obviously, is going to a place like India where you can get them very, very cheaply. But thinking what was said earlier, it's not good for job creation in this country.
Conversation of local versus international. But I'm glad you are mentioning that, because what I have found, and I'll use a very simple, relatable example, is that now you can get a virtual assistant, let's say, for example, and for a small business that maybe can't afford a full-time assistant and pay them properly in the way that they're supposed to when they're full-time, now you have access to the tools abroad.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I'll just give you an example of one of the companies that I'm still working with, but it was a company that I invested in while I was the CEO of Kalen Venture Partners. It's a company called CarScan, and it's a very, very deep tech, very, very complex artificial intelligence, very, very complex machine learning. It really is the leading edge of technology you can find. We, unfortunately, in that case, and it's a bit contradictory to what I said earlier, we couldn't find the skills in South Africa at the right price. You know, we could find the skills, but paying them millions and millions of rand, the startup couldn't afford millions and millions of rand. So we went to India and have got 10, 20 people out of India and paying them a fifth, a tenth of what we'd pay for in South Africa. So very much what you just said now is that digital assistance. Sometimes we either don't have the skills or they got so expensive. I'll just give an example of that. A deep artificial intelligence person developing the ChatGPTs and all these different are earning up to $900,000 a year. $900,000. That same person before AI was earning maybe $200,000. That's how expensive those deep skills have got. So AI, as a skill set, there's a shortage of them everywhere in the world. Never mind South Africa, everywhere in the world. And because there's a shortage, people are paying these ridiculous amounts of money. So there's no one size fits all here. Sometimes you've got to go offshore to get the right skills, and hopefully you're training up the South Africans that can take over from those offshore capability, but you do have to sometimes have a mix of onshore and offshore.
Definitely. There is a message that's come through on the WhatsApp line saying, I'm working full time. I have a business idea that, and they say a big shopping supermarket company wanted to trial and finance was my biggest problem and minimum order quantity for the supplier. I now work evenings and weekends too, but still want to pursue this idea. Mentoring right now, I believe, is actually more valuable than funding, is what they're saying. And that comes through from Gordon. What are your thoughts there, just on the part of mentoring? And maybe you can share what the value is, especially for young people who are listening, where, you know, so many people are sitting around unemployed and maybe there aren't job opportunities that are paying, but they can put themselves in the rooms with the right people and being mentored, not just the talking, but the observing as well.
Yeah, you know, I think I agree with that comment that the gentleman's making. I think mentorship is probably the most important thing that you can get, because, you know, if you've got to think, if you're taking a left turn, as I said, you'd rather take a right turn because the mentor has been left and they've gone left to, you know, to failure, or it's a slow motion crash off a cliff. Mentorship is critical. And they are so, take that gentleman, this is a retail example where you want to move your products in the retail environment. You need to find a retail mentor, someone that understands that type of environment. Doesn't help coming to me as a tech investor, because that's not my forte.
Yes.
That's not my skills. So mentorship, you know, everyone thinks raising capital is a sign of celebration and now I'm on my way to success. People don't understand a bad business with or without capital is a bad business. It doesn't make it a good business. So you don't have to raise capital. Capital is just one way of growing a business. Venture capital is just one way of growing a business. Not every business needs capital. The best types of capital, in all honesty, is capital that comes from clients. And I call it customer funding. So if you've got that great idea, you go to the customer, you go to Pick n Pay, you go to wherever it is and say, that's what I'm going to build these widgets, or you go to whatever, that's what I'm going to build. You can do it off a PowerPoint presentation, or you can just do it off whatever you might use to demonstrate the product, and get your customer to fund it, because that's called non-dilutive capital. You get the money from your customer and they'll say, okay, if you deliver me that, I will pay you now. You're not diluting yourself. You still own 100% of your company. You're not giving 30, 40% to Club and Conducive Capital. You're giving nothing away. That's probably, customer funding is probably the best type of funding. And you can, and you know, at the end of the day, what do entrepreneurs do? They solve big problems in a big market. That's the bottom line. They solve problems. They are not a nice to have, which is like a vitamin. They are need to have, which is like a painkiller. So if they can solve a big problem, and it's a big problem, they can potentially build a very, very, very big business. If you're going to solve a problem for 10 people, you're not going to build a big business. If you get 100% of the market, you're going to have 10 customers, and that's the size of your business. So you need to build a business, solve a big problem, in a very, very big market, a big market in South Africa, Africa, and around the world. And that's what we've done as Caelum Venture Partners, and that's what we're going to do in Conducive Capital. Solve a big problem, but I haven't got time now. I know we're running out of time.
Yes.
To talk about the type of things I look for in an entrepreneur before I make an investment.
So your final thoughts and tips for those that are at that place in their businesses where they're looking for venture capital, what are the standout things that they need to be putting forward?
Let me do it quickly. I call it the 5 T's. So I'm going to talk quickly. The team. Number one is the team. You know, if you buy property, it's about position, 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 location, location, location. When I invest in a startup, it's about team, team, and team. It's got to be a world-class team, best team on the planet. Number one T is team. And don't try and take the journey alone. One is not a team. A team is two or three founders that, if you're building a tech company, you've got the engineer that can build the stuff, the hacker, and then you've got someone that can sell the stuff, the hustler. So you've got need the hacker and the hustler, the builder and the seller. Number one is team. Number two is the technology. The technology's got to be 10 times better than anything else that's in the marketplace. And I'm not going to, because of time, I'm not going to double-click on that. Number three is a large target addressable market. It's got to be a large market. You might start just in a beachhead market. You might start just fishing in a pond, which is very small. Get your what you call product market fit, and then you go into adjacent markets, into new markets. You go into new products. You go into new geographies, and you scale the business. The fourth T is about traction. If I'm going to invest in Conducive Capital, I want to see that the dogs are eating the dog food. I want to see that you're solving a customer problem. I want to go and speak to the customer and say to them, if I rip out this technology, what are you going to do to me? And if they say, Clive, I'm going to strangle you because you cannot rip out this technology, I know you're solving a big problem. If they say, well, we don't really care, I know you haven't got a technology or a solution that's actually solving a big problem. And the fifth T is tenacity of the entrepreneur. You know, I want someone that's just not going to give up. It is hard. I don't want to say it again. I've booked many businesses. It is so hard to build a business, but you cannot give up. Sometimes you're not going to be able to make payroll. Your biggest client's just going to say, I'm not continuing with you. Just keep it up. Keep that tenacity, that doggedness. Keep on being curious. Keep on being, just don't give up. Just keep on. And I'll tell you something, if you do that, the chance of you being successful go up quite substantially. So just think of those 5 T's. Team, technology, traction, target addressable market, and tenacity. You got those 5 things? Give me a call and come and speak to me. Then I'll tell you, if you've got those 5, I'm going to write a check for $1 million or a couple of $1 million into your startup.
Clive, thank you so, so much for your time. We took those notes. I hope you've written down those 5 T's. This conversation will be podcast on primemediaplus.com.